Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we're talking tiny house adventure.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
Hey there, and welcome to another edition to Lifestyle Thursday for Millennial Money. So this week, we actually have a person that I met. I was doing another trip. I was doing a press trip to Oregon, and I was chasing another story for Travel Tuesday, and I actually met this blogger, Jenna Spessard, and she actually is the host of this tiny house village up in Mount Hood area. And we're going to have a Travel Tuesday episode about that later on. But she actually has her own blog as well, too. She's a writer, creator, used to be, went to film school. So she has this really cool story where she was working in Hollywood and working in L.A., living in L.A., and she was just frustrated at her job and quit her job. And she bought a tiny house that she built herself with some help, and then decided just, I'm going to travel around the country. So travel around the country for a while, and then recently she's actually parked it in Oregon, but she is also a blogger and a writer, and how she did this just opened up so many more doors for her. So this week we decided to feature her whole story with her blog, Tiny House Giant Journey. So enjoy our conversation and maybe get a little bit inspired by her, and maybe you can, you know, this can also relate to your life going, hey, you know, I'd like to change this or I'd like to change that. So I think this is a really cool story. So enjoy our conversation with Jenna Spessard as we talk about her blog, Tiny House Giant Journey, and her journey along the way. All right, so we met last month at the Tiny House Village in Mount Hood territory, where you're the host of the Tiny House Village. You have a really unique story on how you ended up there and a whole career
as a blogger and a traveler and a TV host. Tell us where you started and how you got into the tiny houses.
Well, I started about 4 years ago, a little more, I think now, in Los Angeles. I was working in the movie studio, and I just didn't really like my job. I was working paycheck to paycheck. I had high rent. And at the time, I was dating somebody who found tiny houses online, and he sort of introduced them to me. And he was also in the same situation where he wanted to leave his job. He was an engineer. Anyway, so we both had decent jobs, and we just decided to quit our jobs and build a tiny house. Yeah, that's kind of the gist of the matter. And the whole idea was to reduce our expenses and to make a living off of our passions, which are artistic passions, which, as most people know, are difficult to make a living off of. So I wanted to be a writer. He wanted to be a photographer. And we thought, well, if we have very little living expenses, maybe we can actually try to make this work while right. we're still young and try right. to go after it before we get, pigeonholed in our careers. Yeah. So that was the idea, and we did it. It took us about a year to build the tiny house, which was longer than expected. We thought it would take 3 months, but that's how these type of projects go. Mm-hmm. And then we traveled around with it. We bounced around all over the U.S., blogging and taking photos, trying to get inspired, and definitely caught some attention from different people.
So how's it changed your life where you've kind of simplified everything?
So I had a big apartment in Los Angeles. I shared it with two other girls, but I had a lot of space and a lot of furniture to fill it, and it definitely has changed the way, I mean, I had to get rid of all that stuff, but also the way I buy things now. I have to think before I purchase something. I have to know where it goes in the tiny house. I have to be very organized, and it really does help me save a lot of money because of that. No more impulse buys.
Right.
Yeah, and no more just buying a t-shirt because I like it. I have to know that I'm going to get rid of another t-shirt in order to buy that t-shirt. So
right.
it makes you think more about your expenses.
Is that more freeing?
I think so, and it also reduces stress. Mm. I think having more things, although, you know, maybe at the time of purchase makes you feel good, overall, having the burden of a lot of things can be very stressful. And even as simple as what do I wear today? You know, you get up in the morning and you look in your closet. And if there's an overwhelming a lot of things, it's difficult to make that decision sometimes. I know I went through that a lot on my way to work. I would go, well, I have so many options. But now I have a very limited wardrobe. I love everything in my wardrobe. Because of that, I get to spend more money on my clothing items because I know I'm going to have very few of them. Mm-hmm. But I also kind of cycle through the same outfits all the time. And I'm okay with that. And it also simplifies the process and reduces stress in my life.
Right. And how quickly were you able to kind of pay off a lot of your debt and stuff?
I'm still trying.
Okay. It's a work in progress.
I did go to film school, and I got a master's degree abroad. Yeah. So I took out a hefty student loan.
Right.
But the plan is I still had a lot left over when I started building the tiny house, and now it's gone down quite a bit. I should be done hopefully by the end of next year and will be completely debt-free. It's just that student loan that's still weighing me down.
I think that's everybody's problem.
Yeah, right.
So where were some of the places you guys actually traveled with the house?
So we went over 25,000 miles in 1 year. We went from Los Angeles all the way across. We did the East Coast. We went into Nova Scotia and up into Quebec over in Canada, and then all the way down to the Florida Keys. That's the most south we got. And then we went north all the way to the Arctic Circle up in Alaska. So back through Canada on the West Coast and up all the way to the Arctic Circle. And then on our way back down, we took the Alaska Marine Highway, a ferry. We actually loaded the tiny house onto a ferry and cruised down. Sorry. And we cruised down the West Coast and ended back in Washington and on the way back to Los Angeles. So quite a ways.
Right. Well, that's...
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial.
What are the challenges of taking a tiny house on the road compared to that of an RV or something?
Well, tiny houses weigh a lot more than RVs do, for sure. RVs are meant for travel, whereas I would say tiny houses can travel. Are they meant for it?
Right.
Not exactly sure. I mean, I am definitely a unique circumstance where I did travel with my tiny house quite a bit, but they're very heavy and they're sort of a multi-use vehicle slash home because they can move, but they're also very comfortable if you want to keep them stationary, which is what most people do. They're more comfortable than an RV if you're keeping it stationary, but they're harder and more difficult to move. So some of the challenges might be just weight, having to get a bigger truck, having to spend more on gas, also wind resistance and weight distribution. If you build your own, you have to think about those things. And I don't know how to turn those off. I'm so sorry.
That's good.
Hopefully he just stops texting me. You're going to have to edit that part out.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I think that there are different things that you have to think about when you're designing a tiny house over just purchasing a vehicle that is meant for travel.
Right, right. Well, when you set out on this, did you actually think that you'd kind of become an expert as you are?
Well, the goal was to, you know, make money off of our passions, which is travel, but also writing and photography. I had no idea that I would eventually become sort of a pioneer slash expert, if I can say that, in the tiny house movement or industry, if there is one. It just sort of happened as we were going along. Our blog was gaining more and more attention, and Tumbleweed Tiny Homes, which is a big tiny house company, the biggest, contacted us and it ended up employing us. So we were doing workshops for them, and I blog for them. I write for them. So it ended up propelling us. And then a couple TV shows reached out as well, because as we all know, the tiny house TV shows have become very popular the last couple years. Yeah. And so we were episode one of season one of Tiny House Big Living. So we sort of got that show started in a way, as far as after they shot that pilot, it got picked up. And so there's been many seasons of that, and Tiny House Nation, and a bunch of others. And we've been featured, I think, now 6 times on those Tiny House TV shows.
And was that the one that was on the Travel Channel, or was that on HGTV?
The one that was on HGTV, and then I was also on Travel Channel for traveling around and looking at different tiny houses. Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, tell us about your blog, Tiny House Giant Journey, and how that has gone and what that is really about.
So Tiny House Giant Journey is about a tiny house, obviously the tiny house transition, and also travel, because that is part of the project. We traveled around with the tiny house for a long time. And then now that I'm parked, I do a lot of backpacking, and I'm able to do that because the tiny house has reduced my financial burden and has opened up an opportunity for me to work for myself, or do freelance article writing and online work. So it has allowed me to travel abroad whenever I want to. So I've been traveling to at least 3 to 5 new countries a year, and I do blog about that on Tiny House Giant Journey. And I also talk about what it takes to be a minimalist and what it takes to downsize. And I have a video blog as well on YouTube where I interview other tiny housers doing really cool and innovative things, or building really cool and innovative things. So it's just sort of like an inspirational lifestyle and travel blog.
Right. Well, I read the one that you wrote about New Year's, and you had a birthday wish as a kid. Tell us about that wish you had and the philosophy that you're still living by.
So I think that people get bogged down by thinking they need things, and that, you know, what really matters in life and what's going to bring me happiness. And for a lot of people, compulsive buying is part of that. They think, oh, I need these material things. And really, I think what was interesting is that story goes, when I was a kid, I remember getting a birthday cake and my mom asking me to make a wish. And I sat there and I tried to think about what I could. This is a very important moment. I could wish for anything.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
For a pony, I could wish for anything.
Right.
But I was like, but what would I really want? And I sat there for probably a really long time before I actually blew out the candles. And finally, I just wished to live a happy, long life. And I was really young at the time. I can't remember how young, but I remember, you know, it was a very childlike birthday party. So, and ever since then, I have been making that same wish anytime I get a chance. So if I throw a penny in a well, or if I see a shooting star, or if it's my birthday, I make that same wish. And it's just to live a long and happy life. And I think everyone defines happiness in different ways. And for me, I don't need material things. I have found that they don't really make me happy. Maybe a few. I'm not a complete and utter minimalist. I do have belongings, but I think a reduced amount, and just trying to collect experiences instead of things. That's what a lot of minimalists live by. And through my travels, I collect a lot of experiences and I share them. And that's what really brings me happiness.
Right. When you've been traveling around with the house, or say you encounter somebody and you tell your story, do they think you're kind of crazy to live in a tiny house?
Of course I get those. I'm sure you're going to have listeners that also think I'm nuts. But that's fine. I think other people and how they live their lives are at times are nuts. We don't all have to live in the same
type of life or in the same size home. This works for me and I enjoy it. And if other people are thinking about it, they can look to my story and consider it and wonder, weigh the options and wonder if it works for them or not. And I think that that's how I'm sort of giving back. And if you think I'm crazy for living in a small house, that's fine. It really doesn't bother me much. I've heard it all at this point.
Right, right. But I think it also too these days too that they look to with envy too of just like, hey, you know what? You quit your job. You're kind of doing and it's propelled you into more things than you probably even thought of that you wanted to do.
Yeah, living tiny or downsizing has really made me in a lot of ways live a bigger life. And I mean that in a more like spiritual way, in the experiences I've had. And I never would have been able to do that if I would have stayed at that same job that I was unhappy in. And I see that happening all the time with my friends and my family, where they talk to me about how, oh, I just hate my job. Every day I'm there, I hate it, and I can't wait for the weekend. But on the weekend, I have to do all these other things to, you know,
either do some housework because the house is so big that they have to work on it or clean it or stain it. And I just feel like people need to kind of, well, I think that they should rethink what really matters. And if all that matters is to live a long and happy life, maybe we don't need to work at a job that we hate. Maybe we can redesign the way we live. And I know that that's very circumstantial and some people, you know, financially need to work and that I understand that as well. I do as well. I just found another way of doing it to work for myself. And I took the chance and I knew that I could always go back if I needed to.
Right.
But it actually worked out for me. And, you know, I'm so grateful for that. And I think it could work out for a lot of other people as well if they're brave enough and if they really take that leap.
I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me, and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm.
Right. And one thing that struck me too, that going into, and you actually showed me your house, that it's really cool looking, and you've done a lot of design to it. I think it's really neat looking, but there actually is more space than you, I mean, you're kind of a tiny person, but there's more space than you'd think so. And I mean, it looks like your bed and everything on your area, and you have a, you know, a screen that comes down for your TV and stuff like that. It's just like, oh, this is really great. This actually could really work.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are attracted to tiny houses because of the creativity and the innovation that you can do with the design. I mean, you have to get creative if you want to have everything in a 2,000 square foot house and a 200 square foot house. So you have to think outside the box, which is a funny phrase to use when you're talking about
design.
But yeah, you have to really get creative. You have to think about weight and size, and you maybe have to purchase the water heater that's three times as expensive as the regular one because it's smaller.
Right.
But it's one of the things that you definitely have to think about. And there's areas where you aren't going to get everything you want. You know, I don't have a full size bathtub in my tiny house. I have a tiny bathtub. I can't really bathe in it. It's for my dog, but I have a bathtub, but it's very small. Would I love a bathtub? Sure. And every time I go on vacation and I have a hotel room that has a bathtub, right. I take a bath. Right. Yeah. And luckily I happen to live in an RV park that has a hot tub. So I get it in other ways. And I just try to think about what I don't have inside of my house, how I can experience something like that outside, and how that will be a more special experience and bring me more joy.
So on your travels, you guys also discovered there was also like tiny house hotels and other places. What were some of the places that you saw really unique kind of looking tiny houses around the country?
Oh gosh, there are so many people doing really cool and innovative things with tiny house design or similar. There are tiny house hotels opening up, but when I was really traveling around, I was more looking at individuals and what they were doing, and I thought that was really cool. I met a 75-year-old man up in Alaska. He had built 14 different tiny houses on wheels, and he lives his life traveling around the world with his wife. When they had children living with them, they took them on the road 6 months out of the year, homeschooling and backpacking in these little mobile tiny houses. And he's since upgraded and, you know, sold one. He's on version 14 now. So as you can imagine, he has a lot of cool design tricks in that tiny house. That was one that was really impressive to me. And then I also met a girl in Portland. She lives in the Lily Pad tiny house, and she was passionate about being eco-friendly. So everything inside of the tiny house was made from renewable resources, and she has a rainwater catchment system, an indoor hydroponic garden, which is amazing that she can fit something like that inside of a tiny house. But she finds ways to do that, and everything in there was eco-friendly. And I thought, wow, that's really cool, and I could respect that.
Wow, interesting. So if someone is listening to this and they're like, you know, I've been wanting to maybe get a tiny house or get started in that, what is their first steps to actually they need to take?
Well, you mentioned tiny house hotels. I didn't have that opportunity when I was thinking of going tiny because they just weren't as popular. Yeah. But now that they have tiny house rentals all over the country, I would suggest staying in them or at least visiting, going to open houses and trying them out, because honestly, the only way you're going to know if it's going to work for you is if you get to actually experience it. So that would be a great start. And then just reading up on it as much as possible. I'm not just trying to plug my blog, but there are plenty of other blogs out there that have tons and tons of information. I went to the Tiny Tack House because they're a blog that's been around for a long time. There's tinyhouseliving.com. There's tinyhousedesign.com. There's tons of blogs out there that have information on how to downsize and where to get started. So I would do a lot of that. And then if you feel like it's right for you, you just have to go for it, because I see people who just have been dreaming of building a tiny house for years and years. People tell me this all the time. And I'm like, well, why haven't you, you know, what's stopping you? And a lot of times they just need that little kick in the butt, you know, like they just aren't ready quite yet for no particular reason. And I think at some point you just have to make the leap.
Right. And they can actually come visit you in Mount Hood and check out the tiny house village too.
Right. I do open houses here. There's 6 tiny houses here that we tour, and the next one is on June 4th, if anyone's interested in coming.
Awesome. Awesome. So what trips do you have planned for 2017?
I am actually leaving in a week and a half to go to Peru to hike Machu Picchu. So I'm really excited about that. And then on the way back, I am going to stop in El Salvador and Guatemala and do some trekking around there. I have not planned a single day of that vacation yet, so I'm just going to wing it. And then I'll probably go somewhere later in the year. I'm not sure where. I'm thinking maybe a volunteer vacation. So I need to do a little bit more research on that. I've already gone to Taiwan in January, so I'm up to, that will be 5 new countries this year.
Nice. And these are things that you share on your blog too, right?
Yeah, I do share about my travels and like really cool experiences or people that I meet abroad. And it's just really an enlightening experience. I think education, or I think travel is the best education. So,
right.
Yeah.
What do you think that, you know, down the road with your blog or something like that, are you planning to maybe turn this into a book or a few books, or even you're a film major or even like, you know, a web series or something like that?
Yeah. God, I get asked that all the time. I am so busy with the blog.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
I would love to write a book or do something like that. Maybe one day is the answer. And every time someone asks me for that, I get a little bit more motivated and encouraged to do it. So I will probably turn it into something one day. I don't know what yet, but I have avenues to explore.
Right. Well, I mean, so your life has changed so much in the last few years. You never know. And the more travels you do and the more people you meet and stuff, that it kind of just evolves into that stuff.
Right. And the story keeps evolving. I don't have an ending yet. Is one right. reason. Right. One reason I haven't written a book, but once I figure out what that is, then maybe I'll do it.
Right. Exactly. So tell us where we could find Tiny Giant Journey online, your blog.
Tinyhousegiantjourney.com.
Yes. Yes.
Is where you can find it. I'm also on all the social medias. So look me up, Tiny House Giant Journey on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, you name it.
Well, awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much for having me.